The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
When you think about the world that we live in this new age of, I would say, you know, of course, wokeness, and then beyond that, how do you as a believer respond to every day there's something new? You kind of go, wait a second, that doesn't make sense, or that's crazy, or how did this even happen? I read an article yesterday that the new Superman comic will come out as a bisexual in the upcoming issues. DC Comics says this. The new Superman, who is the son of Clark Kent and journalist Lois Lane, has taken a, quote, bold new direction in his fictional life, will come out as bisexual in an upcoming comic issue due November 9th. I don't know. I don't want to hate on people, do you? And I don't want to carry this thing around with me and go, the world's crazy and I don't belong here anymore. But seriously, how do you, as a believer, just navigate your way through this? Joe Dallas is back with us. Joe's an author, a conference speaker. He's an ordained pastoral counselor. Joe has authored 6 books on human sexuality from the Christian perspective, including Desires in Conflict, The Game Plan, and 5 Steps to Breaking Free from Porn. And Joe's with us right now. Hey, Joe, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Thanks, John. Good being with you again.
Yeah, Joe. Okay, so I mean, this story, Clark Kent's son, Superman's son, is now bisexual. I read that and I, you know, you just kind of roll your eyes and you go, all right, whatever. I have no control over this. And now kids are going to read about this. If kids are even reading comic books anymore, does this make a difference in the world?
Oh, there's no question it does. And there's no question we should care. I'm with you, John. I get tired of the whole thing. You want to roll your eyes. You want to make sarcastic remarks. I mean, and there's a part of me that always is saying, well, you should never say no. I've heard everything, because there's always something else that's going to come up. And that really is true. Okay. Gilda Radner used to say it so well. It's always something.
Yeah.
Very true. Okay. I think what we have to do is not lose our edge. We have to remember, yes, this is, in fact, you hit on this, John, and it's important. This is not where we belong. Our citizenship is elsewhere. We are strangers and pilgrims. And so we should feel at odds with the system of the world.
Yes.
I really believe we should. We shouldn't feel at odds with the people of the world necessarily, but definitely with the system.
Yes.
Like John said, all of a sudden the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's a mess. It's a mess. And sometimes I feel like it's such a crazy mess. It's like, okay, we've all sat down at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party.
Exactly.
It's one thing after another. I get that. But I think as far as navigating, what I'm trying to keep in mind is, okay, I'm here with some purpose in mind, and it was not my own. I'd love to go home. But we're here as ambassadors. We're here as service. We're here as light. And to whatever extent people can still be reached, we are here to reach people. I mean, we share the gospel with the unsaved. So we expect the unsaved to be playing by a different playbook. I'm not going to argue the Bible with them and say, don't you know it's unbiblical to make your superheroes or their sons or stepsons or whatever gay? I mean,
they don't care, nor do they engage in any way. It's, you know, that whole thing is all over by their standards,
yeah.
Is it not?
But it is, but I think we can still be a prophetic voice to the world. Our main thing with the world, we want to see people born again. But inherited that is speaking to the world the fact that, hey, there is a creator and he does have an opinion on these things. So I often say we are the light of the world. We're not the might of the world. We're not here to bully anybody into submission. But we still want to shed light on, is there a God? And if so, what does he have to say about gender? That's one issue. And then there is the point of making disciples. And that is, of course, instructing within the church, because there are plenty of believers who are no longer sure what God intends for them to do about their own sexual feelings and leanings. Yep. So really, what I want to do, and what I hope all believers do, is not grow weary in well-doing, no matter what the madness of the times may be. This is temporary. We're running a race. There is still a prize to be had.
Okay, that's great. I appreciate that. It's easy to get weary, and it's easy to get overwhelmed. At the same time, right, you do want to speak biblical truth. But I guess in all things, it's always the matter of the how. I mean, I think about this. We live not far from a college campus. And maybe 2 years ago, there was a guy on the campus, and, you know, an older guy, and he was standing there with a sign, and, you know, he had, you know, biblical imagery, you know, pictures of Jesus on the sign. And he was yelling at the kids as they went by, you know, just belittling the kids. You guys are snot-nosed kids. You're a bunch of brats. You know, you should know the biblical truth of why God has placed you here. I don't want to be that guy. At the same time, I don't want to be a pansy and just kind of roll over and go, it's good by me if it's good by you. So there's got to be a middle ground somewhere. I want to be strong, but I don't want to be a jerk about it.
Yeah, grace and truth don't contradict each other. They really don't. I mean, I don't want to be that guy either, truthfully. I don't even want to know that guy. I certainly don't want to be him.
I felt bad for him.
We don't have to choose between the two extremes. And I think we also have to remember, John, that we don't know what the impact of what we say is going to be. Now, just for example, in a situation like this, we hear about the revision of the DC comics and the gaying of superheroes and so forth. You never know when you're having a conversation with coworkers, with family members, whatever. Well, you know, I still think, despite the times, that we were created male and female with heterosexual instincts in mind by our creator, and that was the way we are designed, and I still think that's in the best interest of humanity. That's just a very simple statement. It's not being a jerk, but it's being clear. Just like you say, you don't want to wuss out of the whole thing, but you also don't want to be overbearing and unreasonable, and then that's a great conversation starter. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Do you think we have a creator? What do you think he intended for us to live and how to live? And how do you determine those intentions? In a lot of ways, these things can be good apologetic conversation starters.
Right. Now, I get that, Joe. And that's good. And, you know, people will say, well, yeah, John, for sure. But 5% of the population identifies as gay and love is love. So just, you know, let people be.
And I'm all for letting people be to the extent that they are free will agents who have the right to decide what to do with their sexuality and their relationships. What I'm not in favor of is being coerced into saying that I affirm the decisions they make. And this is why what you said about woke culture, cancel culture, the social justice movement, whatever we call these different heavy-handed movements, this is what's so significant and so insidious about them. They pose as being for fairness and good treatment of people, but in fact, they attempt to coerce people into saying what they believe is the right thing to say.
Right.
The tolerance plea has changed into a demand. First, it was the plea for tolerance. Now it is demand that you be good, and they will define what is good. You'll hear this more and more, by the way, John. People are saying, okay, I'm lesbian, I'm transgender, I'm gay, I'm bisexual. And you say, well, I love you. I do not have to agree with you, but I recognize your value in God's sight, and I hope we can be friends and have a good relationship. Oh, well, you're just being nice. I don't need you to be nice. I need you to be good. Being good means you affirm what I say I am and what I do, not just that you are nice about it, that you tolerate it, or that you just respect my right to do it. I need you to say it's good. Now, here's one point I would really hang on to in all of this. If somebody is still really wanting you to approve, that must mean at some point their own conscience is testifying against them, and that's good. That means that, hey, they may still be open to truth. But I think that in the process, we're going to experience a lot of tension because we're in the middle of a crusade. I mean, it's nothing less than a heavy-handed crusade to convert the way people feel about key issues,
yes,
which, by the way, is why I wrote the book.
Yes. We're talking with Joe Dallas, and we are talking about a brand new work that he has about cancel culture. So, Joe, here we are, right? We are in the midst of it. Now, look, someone who's my age or your age, we're going to pass away 20, 30, 40 years or whatnot, and then the new age will be upon us. So people will look at us, you know, that's how life used to be. That's how the world, we're the ones who are backwards here. And so we're at the precipice of a new age. But it is important, I believe, that while we are here, we speak the truth in love, and we do take sides, and we say, I don't necessarily agree with you, and here's why.
Absolutely. I mean, all of this talk about how we're in a new age and things have changed and life is not the way it was when you guys were kids. Well, duh, I fully agree. But you know what? The environment is very different than it was when I was a kid, too. Are we going to say that means it has improved? I see a lot of pollution. I see the very real threat. Now, I'm not a global warmist or global alarmist, but I believe that there is such a thing to some extent.
Sure.
I certainly believe we are more crowded and more polluted than we used to be. Are we really going to say that means it's better? No. That means that we really want to be striving to preserve what has worked well rather than discard it. So I am often inclined to say all progress is not good. You can progress towards a cliff just as well as you can progress towards a legitimate goal.
Mm-hmm. Joe Dallas is with us. His brand new work, Christians in a Cancel Culture, Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World. All right, Joe, so what about people? Let's talk about cancel culture a little bit. I mean, look, every day, you know, it's in the news today, right? And I'm not saying that people, you know, should be, you know, racially insensitive or homophobic or whatnot. People, you know, write in private emails about things. And, you know, it's wrong. Of course it's wrong. It's stupid. It's just ill-gotten. But all of a sudden, you know, someone's career is over. They're just, you know, resigned to the ash bin of history, and we're never supposed to hear or speak to that person ever again. That seems kind of crazy, too.
Well, when you create a graceless society, watch out, you're next. You know, during the French Revolution and its bloodiest times, a lot of the people who wanted to have all the aristocrats beheaded wound up on the guillotine themselves.
Yeah.
When you create a culture of intolerance, you will eventually be cannibalized by what you yourself have created. And you'll notice this, John, I'll bet a lot of our listeners have. It seems that nobody's safe now. I mean, people will search out old emails, old college photos, old letters, old remarks from somebody, even a secondhand accusation from somebody who knew you 30 years ago who says, well, John used to be racist or homophobic, and there you go. Your career's over. Now, that is an intolerant culture. Should we speak out against rudeness, against racially insensitive or racially prejudiced remarks? Of course we should.
Yes.
Or openly sexist remarks. And yes, slurs against people who are homosexual or transgender. When people are resorting to name-calling and crude jokes and sarcasm, I think absolutely we should call them on it. But do we really want to establish a culture of punishment for past sins or current attractions? Or are we going to enhance a culture where we are allowed to express ideas openly and then challenge people when they are speaking in ways that are injurious to other people without creating a climate of fear? Because that's what we've got going here, is the climate of fear.
Yeah, you're right about that, right? Everyone's thinking, everyone's running, going, okay, who's next on the block? Because it does feel as though, right, sooner or later, they're coming for you. Okay, Joe, just a couple minutes left, but, you know, you write Christians in a Cancel Culture, Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World. You do say, you know, that as believers, that Christians may pay a high price in the future. Talk to us about that. What's that look like?
John, the future is now. A lot of us are already paying a high price. If you hold the biblical worldview, if you hold a biblical position on abortion, homosexuality, transgender, social justice, or progressive Christianity, there's going to be some serious pushback. And those distinctives, Christian distinctives, are what get us into hot water. I've often said just saying you're a Christian is not going to hurt you. But if you hold to the Christian distinctives spelled out, yes, the world is becoming quite hostile towards those distinctives. But these are not distinctives we can surrender. We can't afford to say, oh, I'm going to lose my job, or I'm going to lose my tax exempt status, or I'm going to lose a relationship because I hold to these distinctives. We're not trying to push them on people. We're not trying to force the world into accepting them. But we are having to stand our ground when the world tries to tell us that we can no longer hold those distinctives. And I believe at that point we're going to have to pretty much say what Peter and John said when the priest and the temple leaders and captains told them they could no longer teach and preach in the name of Jesus. They said, you know what, we ought to obey God rather than man. So my feeling is, as the situation demands or as the opportunity allows, we have to speak the truth. If the situation demands that our backs are against the wall, we have to just basically let it rip and say, this is where I stand.
Yeah, that's good.
As the opportunity allows, we carefully consider it and respectfully state our case.
I'm into that. Okay, prayerfully considered. Joe, before you leave us, just talk a second about your own prayer life. You know, as you see the world right now, how is it that you're praying? What are you praying for? What do you, you know, think about as you prepare to pray? What are your prayer circles like? I'm always curious about where people are in their own prayer life.
I am constantly nowadays, John, praying, and this is such an important question. God softened my heart. I am getting cynical. I'm getting a little like, oh, yeah, right. You know, almost every time I hear something new, and I'm sort of developing the kind of a hardness that I don't want to have. I don't want to have the attitude towards this life of saying, well, until the Lord comes, I'll put up with all these jerks in the world because that's what I have to do, but I can't wait to get out of here. That is not the love of Christ. I want the love of Christ to constrain me. So that's the number one prayer I have. Lord, soften my heart and keep it soft.
Fabulous. Joe, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by, and really, excellent work on the new book.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Joe Dallas, Christians in a Cancel Culture, speaking with truth and grace in a hostile world.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.